Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, July 12th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Police arrest Pastor Ivan Mawarire, one of the chief architects of last week's mass stairway, as government threatens to take drastic action on protesters.
Let me warn the instigators behind the intended protests that they will face the full wrath of the law.
Tajamuka Sesijikile spokesman Promise Mkhwananzi says his arrest won't stop the fight for democracy in Zimbabwe.
The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission investigates alleged police brutality in the country.
We understand that the police came here and threw tear gas in the buildings and people were forced out, were harassed.
And the French ambassador to Zimbabwe has dismissed as ridiculous reports that his country has a hand in mass protests in the country.
These accusations are absolutely ridiculous. This is absolutely without any base. I'm not here for that sort of thing. I'm here to support Zimbabwe and Zimbabweans.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo has warned activists who may want to stage protests in the two-day national job stairway that have been called for tomorrow that authorities said would clamp down on them. At the same time, police in Harare have arrested Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the This Flag campaign on charges of incitement ahead of the work boycotts. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Minister Chombo told a news conference that the police would be out in full force to deal with any form of unlawlessness during the two-day national job stairway being organized by some groups. Chombo said, although Zimbabweans have a constitutional right to petition government, this should be done in an orderly and lawful way. He added that the army would not be deployed in the streets in case of civil unrest, arguing that Zimbabwe has enough police officers to maintain law and order.
Those violent protests are counterproductive as they may result in loss of life and the destruction of property. The security situation currently prevailing in the country is generally peaceful and calm, though there are individuals and the groups that are calling for a repeat of events that unfolded last week. Let me warn the instigators behind the intended protests that they will face the full wrath of the law.
Responding to a question why President Robert Mugabe is not heeding the protesters' call for him to leave office for failing to run the country's affairs, Chombo said Mr. Mugabe has an electoral mandate to remain in office.
The individual that you are talking about was given a chance to vote for a presidential candidate of his choice, and I don't know who he voted for, but the majority of Zimbabweans and ourselves, we voted for the president Robert Gabriel Mugabe. And that vote meant he's got 5 years to rule this country. Then we go to seek a further mandate from the people.
His remarks come at a time when police have arrested Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the This Flag campaign. Mawarire's lawyer, Harrison Komo, told Studio 7 by phone from Harare Central Police Station that his client is facing charges of inciting violence. Komo said police claimed that the clergyman was in possession of a police helmet, baton stick, and some subversive material that he allegedly used during the July 6th stay away. Some organizations, such as the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and several opposition parties, have condemned the arrest of Mawarire and other activists ahead of tomorrow's stay away. One government employee who refused to be named said he will be part of the people who are going to heed the call to stay away from his workplace, saying the government must address the concerns of its citizens.
tomorrow as a worker I'm not coming to work, because this issue is affecting everyone in Zimbabwe. Every Zimbabwean is suffering, and I think it's high time we now need to show the government that people are disappointed. We should have done this 5 years ago.
Some human rights groups, like the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, have called on police to respect the rights of any protesters during the stay away. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, Tajamuka Sesijikile spokesman Promise Mukwananzi says his arrest won't stop Zimbabwe's fight for democracy. Mukwananzi was arrested for allegedly participating in a protest outside Choppy's supermarket, said to be owned by Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko, who has been staying at Sheraton Hotel since his appointment. He speaks to Studio 7's Shoniso Jani about his arrest and related issues.
Jail is jail. You have the confinement of your freedom. You have to sleep on the floor with lice, dirty blankets, and very cold. That's basically what it was. But what is more important to us, I think, is the reason why we were in jail and why we might actually be continually going in and out of jail.
What were the charges against?
They've given me a very ridiculous charge of inciting violence, which I flatly and totally deny. I have not incited any violence anywhere. What is inciting the violence or whatever the unrest in the country is the misgovernance of President Robert Mugabe and his regime, who should step down and allow the country to sort itself out.
What happens if he then steps down? Won't there be a vacuum? Who would you want to come next into power?
It's not about who I want to come to power. It's about what form of country we want and what future we want for the country. That is more important than who comes. Whoever comes must be guided by the aspirations of the people of Zimbabwe in terms of where we want this country to go.
How do you predict tomorrow will be?
Well, I don't know about tomorrow, but what I know is that the people of Zimbabwe are very agitated, as we have seen in the past month or so, with the mushrooming of all the protests across the country on various issues, which is an indication of the challenges that the country is facing. Whatever comes tomorrow is whatever comes. But what I can assure you is that as we move forward, there will be an escalation of various forms of protest. It's not going to be confined to one form of protest. There are going to be various forms of protest from various areas in different places at different times to show this government that we are fed up and that the government must then meet the demands that we've made that are on the public domain.
That was Promise Mukwananzi, spokesperson of the Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, speaking with Studio 7's Chioniso Jani from Harare.
In a related development, the president of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Takava Fira Joe, says they won't take part in the mass stay away set for tomorrow and Thursday, as they have not been consulted by the organizers of the protests, including Pastor Ivan Mawarire of This Flag Movement, who was arrested this morning. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
In an interview today, Shaw said, unlike last week when teachers affiliated to his organization were part of the protest, they won't participate in the mass stay away this week.
As leaders, we have not been consulted by Pastor Mawarire and his colleagues in Tajamuka. And we don't think that there is an appropriate all-embracing planning so that tomorrow's call for stay away becomes successful. Last week, we participated because we had long planned to engage on industrial action. This is not to say that we are against any genuine stay away, but any genuine stay away must be a product of consultation, a product of consensus, a product of buy-ins by other organizations, and not unilateral decisions where an individual calls for a stay away and does not consider other important stakeholders. We have not also had a chance to consult our members, and we cannot therefore go forward headlong with the plans to go for a stay away, which we don't know its purpose and intention. But we would participate in any genuine stay-aways that consult teachers, leaders, so that we also consult our members so that they give us a mandate. But in this case, we have not been given a mandate by our members. We are mere leaders that act on a mandate from the constituents, and our constituents has not given us any mandate to take part in tomorrow's stay-away.
Pastor Mawarire has urged Zimbabweans to take part in the stay-away, saying their demands have not yet been met by President Robert Mugabe's government. Activists have aided the 92-year-old Zimbabwean leader to step down for allegedly failing to run the country. They also want government to lift a ban on food imports that had become the lifeline of many unemployed citizens and the arrest of corrupt ministers, among many other issues. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
And the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission has started investigating what took place at a block of flats in one of Bulawayo's high-density suburbs, where police reportedly abused scores of innocent civilians as Zimbabweans continue to focus on police brutality in the wake of last week's mass stairways.
Reported widespread abuse of civilians by police is coming under the spotlight as the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission this morning descended on Rombo Flats in the Nguvuenja High Density suburb to investigate what transpired during last week's disturbances following reports that police allegedly tortured innocent civilians. Rombo Flats, which houses nearly 1,000 people, is home to the family of David Mtasa, whose one-year-old child died after allegedly inhaling excessive tear gas, which police used to flush out suspects involved in violent protests. ZHRC Commissioner Japhet Ndabeni Ncube told journalists that the commission had decided to make investigations at Rombo following complaints against the police by some residents. However, Ndabeni Ncube said he could not say more as the commission still needed to get a full picture of what happened.
We understand that the police came here and threw tear gas in the buildings and people were forced out, were harassed.
Ordinary citizens, civic organizations and the opposition MDCT have roundly condemned the police's heavy-handedness, particularly in the wake of protests during the recent stay away. ZHRC was established under the country's constitution to promote as well as raise awareness and respect for human rights and freedoms at all levels of society in the country. It has the power to investigate allegations of human rights abuses and make necessary recommendations to Parliament and to the Commissioner General of Police to cause arrests where evidence would have shown that human rights were criminally violated. Meanwhile, legislator and deputy spokesperson Tabita Kumalo of the MDCT was earlier today summoned and later released after being questioned by police at Bulawayo Central's Law and Order section. Kumalo told Studio 7 that the police accused her of being one of the people behind the protests that occurred in Bulawayo and across the country.
They claimed that I was seen at a meeting at Burombo Flats at room number 2, where I held a meeting with the people that caused the chaos there. I was then accused as well of being the brains behind the chaos that is happening in Zimbabwe. It was a way of intimidating me. They have no clue who is behind these skirmishes as far as they are concerned. So they are literally witch hunting. I don't know what is it that I do that made them identify me as the so-called organizer of something that I have nothing to do with.
Kumalo said her party supports the people's right to demonstrate in order to show their disgruntlement over the hardships that they are facing, but maintained that such protests must be peaceful as engaging in violence is self-destructive. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
French Ambassador Laurent Delarose has dismissed as ridiculous reports that France and some developed countries are behind the social unrest that Zimbabwe has been experiencing, including last week's mass stay away. Reporter Notando Sbanda has the story.
Ambassador Delarose told VOA Studio 7, calling for protests and inciting citizens to cause violence is not part of his mandate, adding that since his posting to Zimbabwe, he has been preoccupied with presenting the country as a viable destination to French investors. He said the Zimbabwean government should be preoccupied with bringing perpetrators of police brutality, as evidenced by videos and pictures circulating on social media, to book instead of making baseless accusations against his country.
These accusations are absolutely ridiculous. This is absolutely without any base. I'm not here for that sort of thing. I'm here to support Zimbabwe and Zimbabweans. I think that the authorities in Zimbabwe need to look into these acts of police brutality that we have witnessed, that have been filmed and published on social media.
In a statement released by the delegation of the European Union to Zimbabwe earlier today, the EU representatives castigated the violence and human rights abuse in the aftermath of the protests, calling for respect for the right to peaceful demonstration as enshrined in Section 59 of Zimbabwe's constitution. Human rights activist and church leader Reverend Hussein Spanda said blaming what government has been calling a third force is to ignore citizens' collective frustration and anger over bad governance, corruption, and widespread poverty.
The reason why people have stayed away and we have this current civil unrest in Zimbabwe is simple because people are hungry. Government had promised that it will provide more than 2 million jobs. That has not happened.
Zimbabwe has been hit by social unrest and protests over the past recent weeks by many social groups, including informal traders, public transport operators, and civil servants. In the meantime, another shutdown has been called for Wednesday and Thursday, while the MDCT Women's League is calling for a Beat the Port Saturday protest against hunger. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Notando Spanda.
Meanwhile, Botswana says there has been no formal deliberations with Zimbabwe on the unfolding crisis, which has seen several violent demonstrations amid calls for President Robert Mugabe to step down. Analysts in Botswana, however, say the situation cannot be ignored. Studio 7 correspondent Martin Gwenya reports.
Botswana's Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Ms. Belonomi Vincent Moitoi, says they've not been informed about the current situation in Zimbabwe. Vincent Moitoi says she was in Zimbabwe last Thursday as part of a campaign for the African Union chairperson post, and nothing came up in meetings with state officials.
I was in Zimbabwe on Thursday. There was nothing to report.
However, analysts expect Botswana to engage Zimbabwe through various platforms, which include the two countries' joint commission on defense and security or the Southern African Development Community, SADC. Botswana President Ian Khama is the SADC chairperson, and there's a growing feeling that the unfolding Zimbabwe crisis must be tackled at regional level. Political analyst Mr. Ndula Mumurima says Zimbabwe's crisis is causing instability in the SADC region, and therefore SADC cannot ignore the unfolding crisis.
It is indeed long overdue for SADC to intervene. The reason why I'm saying that is that the effects that come as a result of the situation in Zimbabwe obviously affect Zimbabweans themselves. And secondly, it obviously also brings problems, economic immigration, to the SADC region itself.
But University of Botswana political commentator Mr. Leonard Sisa says SADC might find it hard to deal with the often dismissive President Robert Mugabe.
One can just come closer to him and talk about such issues in early. Rather, he's blaming them to say, but you guys, you have decided not to listen to the African leaders, but you are listening to the superpower country leaders. By Longore, they have decided to sanction Zimbabwe, not to buy and sell anything for Zimbabweans, but you decided to, you know, go along with that. So really, I don't think it can be easy.
There are growing fears of an influx of immigrants into Botswana if the situation flares. Zimbabwe was rocked by demonstrations, some of which turned violent in the past week, over the deteriorating economic situation in the country. Botswana is already feeling the pinch of some of Mr. Mugabe's policies, with the recent import ban on some goods significantly slowing down economic activity, particularly in the second city of Francistown, where Zimbabweans flock for groceries and other business. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Martin Gwenya in Gaborone, Botswana.
And now we take a look at regional and international news.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has endorsed Hillary Clinton as the Democratic Party's nominee for president.
Uganda's main opposition leader has been freed after spending 2 months in jail over treason charges.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has urged the Security Council to impose an arms embargo and targeted sanctions on South Sudan, where violence has resumed.
And the 27th Assembly of the African Union has opened in Kigali, Rwanda, with the theme 2016, a year of human rights, with a particular focus on the rights of women.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
As Zimbabwe picks up the pieces following the countrywide stay away that shut down the fragile industry, causing the economy to lose millions of dollars, economists and trade unions warn that more such actions will bring the country to its knees. Some unofficial figures say the country lost more than $150 million on the one-day economic shutdown that was organized to put pressure on the government to address multiple issues related to the flailing economy. Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions President George Nkiwane said it was strange that the government should be talking of loss of revenue when it reported last week that the stay-away was a flop. Economic commentator Godfrey Kanyenze tells Studio 7 it would not be easy to quantify the effects of the stay away because the economy is mostly informal.
There are quite a number of factors at play and can be traced back to the post-2013 situation where following its electoral victory in the 2013 general elections, ZANU-PF formed a one-party government and basically it had promised quite a lot. It promised to undertake policies that will take the economy forward. It had promised to create, for example, more than 2 million jobs, etc. So basically, the challenges that we have faced that has resulted in the stairways and basically the demonstrations that we are witnessing are also related to the unfulfilled promises to start with, the declining economic performance, the challenges basically that associated with the inconsistencies and lack of sound policies that have been implemented since then. There are other factors. If you look at organizations such as the Jamuka, such as the FLEG, that have generally been mobilizing the citizenry around grievances relating to corruption, deteriorating economic conditions, and also the lack of transparency and accountability.
Now, we have heard that the country lost close to $200 million, and some are putting it $150 million dollars because of this stay away. Would you say these figures are correct?
Well, it's always difficult to validate these figures without undertaking a comprehensive analysis. So generally, one could say there is a grain of truth because the stairways were quite successful, so it should have had quite some impact on the economy.
Now, for us to be able to quantify the loss that was accrued over that period, would it be correct to also incorporate the informal sector and say the money that they were supposed to generate was lost?
Well, of course, when you're quantifying economic activity, you know, you can't segregate the formal and informal because both are contributing to total output. It may be the case that in the formal statistics, they may not include what is happening in the informal economy. But however, when you look at such events, that has also to be included because those economic activities are important.
Now, tourism is one of the key factors on the Zimbabwean economy. Now, when you look at what has been happening, do you see the returns getting lower?
Well, certainly they will, because tourism is a very interesting sector in the sense that it is based on sentiments. If there are perceptions that it's not safe to go into a country, they've got options. They can go and watch and view the Victoria Falls from the Zambia side. They can decide to go to Botswana and see the Big Five or South Africa or Mozambique. So in essence, that does have implications for the tourism sector.
And that was Godfrey Kanyenze, an economic commentator, speaking on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioneso Jani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today with me, we have Takawira Kapikinyu joining us. Hello, Takawira.
Hello, how are you, Chio?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Welcome.
Tell us what you do.
I work for an international organization. I do monitoring and evaluation for them.
You are at Young Women for Zimbabwe Leaders with Nyaradzo Mashayamombe. And how did that go for you?
I think Nyari was able to explain the problems that are facing women in Zimbabwe at the moment and what she has been trying to do, not only herself, but other women's organizations in trying to remedy the situation for the girl child and for other women leaders, as well as engaging the government in making sure that the role of women in society is regarded and is respected. So I think it was a good initiative for her to show that despite the problems that Zimbabwe is facing at the moment, there are people that are dedicated to working for the better of the country and making sure that they are also engaging the government and other stakeholders in making sure that the voice of women is heard.
One of the highlights that she brought up in the meeting was that in terms of the hierarchy, Joyce Mujuru was replaced by a man instead of another woman. What is your say on that?
That could be a big problem that there are no women leaders at the top. At the moment, the biggest issue is it's women who brought it down. And I think it's also the role of women to be able to take out the women up to that role and not just for wait for men, because the women that took it down had an idea, had an agenda. And I think it's also the same women that can also bring up another leader. But us as Zimbabweans, we need to actually respect the role of women in society and give them higher positions for them to be able to make meaningful contribution and meaningful decisions and make the policies for our country.
One of the gentlemen in the meeting raised an issue of this flag campaign and the role of women participating in this social media and shutdown in Zimbabwe. What would you say about that issue?
Women have always played a meaningful role in the struggle for Zimbabwe. They've been in the background. But this fake campaign is a high-tech, and most women do not have access to resources to be able to partake in such issues. So I don't blame the women. Women have always been supporting. Men go to the struggle, and after they get hurt, it's the women that nurse them. It's the women that are feeding the husbands. It's the women that are feeding the children. They have another role, a very meaningful role that they are playing, despite not being at the forefront of any struggle. But they are the ones that sustain a struggle.
Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thank you so much.
And that was Takawira Kapikinyu, and I am Chioneso Jani.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee says preparations for the 2016 Rio Olympics are now at an advanced stage, with over 30 athletes expected to participate. Leader of the Team Zimbabwe at the Olympics, Titus Zhomuya, says his organization received funding from both the Olympic Committee and government and will start departing in batches at the end of this month. We hear more from Zhomuya.
Currently, our team stands at 31 athletes. We have actually now added another swimmer, making it 32, because yesterday we received confirmation that one of our swimmers, that is Sean Michael Gunn, who was awaiting universality place after we had applied for that one, has now been accepted, and he will be representing Zimbabwe in the 100-meter stroke at the Olympics. But the team currently now stands at 32, which is the second largest team to represent Zimbabwe at the Olympics after the 1980 Moscow Olympics, where we had a delegation of 42. We have got a representation from swimming, where there will be two athletes. We also have representation from athletics, where we have got six athletes. We also have a representation from archery, which is a new entrant in Zimbabwe. They've just registered themselves at the Zimbabwe Archery Association through the Sports and Recreation Commission and the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee. We also have another athlete there who has attained a qualifying slot at the Olympic Games after having qualified at the African Archery Championships held in Namibia on the 30th of January 2016. We also have representation from equestrian, where we have got one athlete who will be riding a horse, and the horse is also an athlete. We are excited about that one. We also have two athletes from rowing, two rowers who will be representing Zimbabwe, a male and a female. And then the last one, but not the least, is shooting, where we've got one athlete who represents Zimbabwe at that level.
What about the women's soccer team? We understand that they made it also to the Olympics. Are they part of Team Zimbabwe?
This is an exciting development for Zimbabwe. The Mighty Warriors, for the first time in the history of the Olympics for Zimbabwe, we have a team sport that is representing Zimbabwe by qualification.
That was the leader of Team Zimbabwe at the Olympics, Titus Zhomuya in Harare.
That's it for tonight. And remember, on Live Talk tonight, we are talking about the planned Mass Day Away tomorrow. This is Chris Gande, stand by for Fondebele.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing a pleasant evening and a very good night.